the future isn't preset and preordained. It's more about every decision we make and the things we do kind of set like a domino effect on how the future starts to unfold.
Hi, welcome to Resonate, Conversations and Life Lessons from Rancho La Puerta. I'm your host, Barry. Today I'm in this very special part of the ranch. This is called Emily's Forest of Dreams. This is a place that we've dedicated to those who walk among us in spirit. My guest today is Adele Levine. She's an intuitive, a medium, and someone who spends a great deal of her time with those who walk among us in spirit. She's been helping people tune into their deeper selves for over 30 years. Adele just published her first book called Seer, which is part memoir, part spiritual guide, and very interesting and thought-provoking. Whether you're a skeptic, a believer, or just spiritually curious, today's episode is all about tapping into the unseen and trusting your gut or your intuition. It usually knows what's right for you. Hi, Adela. Thanks for joining me today.
Thank you. Thanks for having me on. I really appreciate it.
No, it's wonderful. I've never spoken to intuitive or a medium before, so I think it's exciting for me.
Yeah.
I have lots of questions for you. First of all, what is an intuitive, and then what is a medium?
Okay, perfect. An intuitive, it's not that it's so different from being psychic, but when I started this like 25 years ago, that word was very, you know, not looked upon very well. People were picturing me down, you know, Venice Beach, you know, with cards in my hand. Mm-hmm. So I also kind of felt like it fit me more in general. So intuitive means for me, at least, is when I do an intuitive reading, I can see past time and space, and I get a read on the person, the core of who you are, how you tick, often help people remember that person. Mm-hmm. A lot of people come to me for that. But I can get substantial, like, I usually have people ask me specific questions at this point, because I want to get right to what people want to know. So if they're, what I believe is the future isn't preset and preordained. It's more about every decision we make and the things we do kind of set like a domino effect on how the future starts to unfold. So if someone is trying to make a decision on something, I can look and see that path is looking like it's unfolding in this way. This path is unfolding in that way. And obviously, I'm trying to guide you in the way that is going to help you avoid some pitfalls and be the most best optimal for you. So some people believe that no matter what you do, the same future unfolds, where I don't see the future that way.
Right.
And the medium reading is specific to connecting to people who have passed on. What makes the way I work a little different is people can specifically ask for a person they want to speak to, any person, and they don't need to give me a name or the backstory, because in that realm, they already knew this was happening because there's no time there. So you could just say my grandmother, my mother's side, or a best friend. And in that reading, it's kind of like having a visitation with that person. They'll get into what they've learned since they've passed, what it was like for them, and also confirmations. Confirmations is very important in both readings. You have to say things that people can confirm. Otherwise, people can just say anything to you.
Right. Yeah. So now, how did you first get into doing this type of?
Yeah. So I just released a whole book about that.
Is it called Seer? Right.
Yeah. It's called Seer, and it's the origin story.
Okay.
It's a memoir, and I called it the origin story because this is just the beginning, you know, of how everything happened. It's not something it's something I ran away from for quite some time. So, my mother died when I was 10 days old, and my aunt and uncle raised me. And I used to have dreams about my aunt dying young, pretty much every month as a kid. And, I psychologically, cause I come from a very academic family, people think I don't, they tend to think people like me come from kind of a different type of family, but they're not. They're very academic and psychological and all this. So I kind of thought maybe that at that time I was having these dreams might have been from trauma of losing my real mother. But it didn't make sense because my uncle, who adopted me with my aunt, he was the first dialysis patient in Los Angeles. So they didn't know how long he was going to live. And I never saw him dying first. I just saw her. And then she got sick when I was around 16 with leukemia and passed. So it was kind of around that time where I really felt like I had a, all the dots started connecting. I always had knowledge, intuition about people. I would like see people and know things that you shouldn't know about people, just, you know, understand them in a way that most people didn't. But because I came from a, my aunt used to say things like, oh, she's so intuitive, but she didn't really explain it. So I just figured everybody was like that. And so when she got sick and I kind of started to see how the spirit was different than the body, I started to have this kind of awakening about that. And then a lot of stuff happened after that, that started to open that door. Well, I started to kind of pay attention to it more and accept it more, because I was raised really religious, so it was hard to get there.
Yeah, I can imagine. So, as have you ever like had visits from your birth mother?
I feel like it took me a lot of years to realize that I blocked it out. I think because of a lot of pain, but I did later on have a very specific dream that she came to me. This was like, and believe it or not, I wrote about this in the book. I didn't put two and two together. It was two moms sitting there, and the one mom was talking to me because I had a very difficult childhood. There was abuse and different things. So she was upset with her sister in this dream. She was like, she can't talk to you. But, you know, I was still new to a lot of this. And I didn't quite put two and two together, believe it or not, until later. But I do have this distinct feeling, because she died of an embolism and she put me in my crib and then walked out and dropped dead. I feel like maybe that door was left open because of that. So I kind of feel like she was always there. But I think you have psychological and other emotional things that can block you from feeling that world. And I think a lot of pain might have blocked me from realizing it. And also, I didn't understand what things at that time.
So it's clear that you must, you have like a calling for this, or a purpose.
Calling. In this.
Yeah, a calling for this.
Yeah.
At what point did you actually accept that that was the case for you, and then start to, you know, act on it?
Well, I was around, I was very young. I was around in my early 20s, and I dedicated a whole chapter to Starbucks, believe it or not, because I was working at the, we opened a fifth Starbucks in Los Angeles, and I had a friend, which actually he wasn't a friend. He's my friend now. I didn't know him very well. And I thought, I've been testing this out on a boyfriend I had at the time. Sister passed, and I started reading for his mother, because she was the first person I met who seemed very open to these things. I didn't meet anybody. This was early 90s, you know. And even in Los Angeles, people were still like weirded out. And I said, well, I have to really test this out on somebody that I don't know. And he just started working there. So, and I knew his father passed. So as I was testing out the medium part of me, and I walked up to him and said, yeah, you're making, like, he was making drinks. And I said, I was on break. And when I went up to him and told him what I saw, how his father looked, and he said, yeah, that's how my father looked. And then I proceeded to tell him, well, he's a gentle man. And I doubted it, because I thought, well, everybody's like angelic when they die, right? And he said, no, 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 no. That's on his tombstone. Here is our father, a gentle man.
Wow.
And I was like, I'll be right back. And I was like really, really weirded out. So I started playing with it, but I didn't know what I was doing. And I didn't know anybody to talk to. It was pre-internet, pre-everything. And I just, I shut it down and closed it off for about 12 years. And then when it just never goes away. And one day I said, this is who I am. And I'm tired of running from it. Cause obviously I've run all over the place. Mm-hmm. And I gave into it and talked to that realm to teach me how to hone it. So I've really learned everything from that realm.
So when the guy at Starbucks, when you saw him and walked up, do you focus on a certain person and then you get information, or is it something that's just coming to you because of that person, or is it both?
Well, in the beginning years at that time, I didn't have any control or knew what I was doing. So I said, what if I focus on this person? Could I talk to his father for him? And his father said, yeah, I'm here. This is what I look like. Go talk to my son. And I just actually had him on, his name's Jeff, on my podcast, The House Medium, because I've talked about him so much. Mm-hmm. And he said, I said, there's no way this guy's going to, like, he's going to think I'm a total freak. I'm not going to walk up to him. Mm-hmm. And it just kept not going away. And when I did, that's how that worked. But today, someone just asked to speak to someone, and I connect. It took me a lot of years to connect to the person that people want to talk to.
Yeah.
And it took me a lot of years to do, because I wanted to optimize people's time and experience. I wanted them to have the best experience, mm-hmm. and know they're going to talk to the person they wanted to talk to.
Right. So do you have to, do you have to go into a meditative state, or how does it, what is the
Not
modality?
Anymore. Yeah. Yeah. Now it's, no.
Wow.
It's pretty like, in the beginning. Yeah. In the beginning, there's no way I ever thought I could just sit in front of people. I used to go and do what I would call, like, I teach people this, like, I would lay down, light these candles, listen to music, and raise my vibration and connect to that realm. And I would do that for like a half hour before readings. Mm-hmm. And I would hear what I call the teacher say, you can't do that forever. Like, you're going to have to be faster for people. And I was just didn't think that would ever be possible. But mm-hmm. over 25 years plus and thousands of readings later, it's part of who I am now.
So how long ago did you decide to take this on as a career and professionally?
Yeah, professionally is 25 years ago. Wow. Yeah, it wasn't professional before that. Before that, I was kind of like dipping my toe and running away and dipping my toe and running away. So now professionally, it's been 25 years. That was the turning point when I started to hone it. And then that is before the 25 years. I took about a year and a half reading people for free, reading people. I wanted to really master it more before I went into a professional reader.
Yeah. And is it mostly word of mouth that people find out about you?
Not in the beginning, but now I have a podcast, social media, and I always did. I actually started on MySpace.
Right.
I started like talking to people on there. And all those people have kind of followed me along, and I've been on, I have a podcast and I've put all that stuff out there, but it is still word of mouth. I mean, there's still a big part of that where people say, oh, a friend of a friend, or I heard you there. But yeah, it's kind of both.
I mean, I heard about you from someone who had a session with you.
Yeah,
so that's how I heard about you. And she really recommended that I would interview you. I want to talk about both, but since we're already talking about being a medium right now. So being a medium, does it take away the fear of death? I think everyone is afraid of what happens after this life.
Yeah. I think my problem is learning to be here now. I don't have a fear of death. And I think that when I had a child, it changed. It was like the universe is like, aha, we have a reason that you need to be more grounded here. Because being grounded has always been my battle to be better at being grounded. So no, I don't have a fear of death. I have a fear of getting older and sick, but not death.
Right.
Yeah. It seems when I see that world, it's home.
So do you think of when people go beyond this physical body, are they spirits? Are they energy? What do you see them as?
They are their consciousness. They're truly who they were when you met them, but they are. It's kind of like a digital version of them. You know, mm-hmm. It's kind of like they just are the same, but they don't need a physical body anymore. So they are spirit and they are energy, but they're in a realm that's fully functional. Like people think people are just floating around, but it's like a city. It's like an advanced world.
Mm-hmm.
So I call it like the advanced world. It's more like we advance to a different place and you just don't need the limitation of time and space here.
Yeah. So do you think they want to communicate with people that are still
they
here?
They definitely want to communicate, but we have created the wall. So when everyone talks about the veil, it's really what we created. Mm-hmm. We've created a block from that realm because everyone's created fear around it.
Mm-hmm.
So they do feel very like, hey, I want people to know that I'm still existing. They're always game to talk, always.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Do you think that all people have access to this?
I always say everybody can learn piano, but not everyone's going to be, you know, professionally playing a piano or
right.
being great at it. I do feel like this is a natural gift I have that I honed.
Right.
But everybody can connect to their people. But right. again, a lot of it has to do with fear. Like I have people say, oh, I miss this person and I felt something around me and I freaked out. And I go, well, they don't want to scare you.
Yes,
so they stop trying. And right. so it's really us that blocks that world. So yes, people can open themselves up, but not too many people can do it at this right. level. I just think that's fair about anything. I wished I could be a rock singer and I couldn't. So,
yeah,
I mean,
me too.
That kind of
sucks. I wished that for years.
I think I would have been a very bad attitude rock singer because I think it's like a bad, coolest thing to do, you know?
No, yeah, me too. I used to go to concerts and write little notes to the singers and they throw it on the stage. I want to be one of your backup dancers. I never got a call back, but yeah, it's kind of funny.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I have a lot of friends that can sing really well, and I don't understand why they're not bragging right. about it all the time. So, yeah.
So do you think people want to give us messages from beyond? Do they come? Like, I've had people tell me, like, I know that bird was my mom trying to communicate with me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they don't become the bird. So what it is that the spirit world is on the same frequency as the earth mm-hmm. and the animals. And so they communicate with those frequencies and say, mm-hmm. can you do me a favor? The person right now is really sad about me and having a hard time. Can you fly by them mm-hmm. to give them a sign? The reason why they have to do signs is because, again, everyone's too freaked out. Like if your door mm-hmm. just opens up, everyone goes into a complete...
Right.
You know, freak out mode. So they are not the animal. They're not the bird. And they're not almighty. People think that the people pass, that they're almighty or they're omnipresent. They're just people who died and they're still learning and you still grow and you evolve in that realm. So they don't know everything.
Right. That's super interesting. It mm-hmm. kind of, it doesn't contradict like everything that we're learning about metaphysics
yes.
these days, you know what I mean? It's
mm-hmm.
such a big topic right now, and it kind of marries. It doesn't, you know, they go together in a way.
So. Correct. I agree with that because I feel like when people make it unattainable and hard to understand, my whole like part of my calling is to make this more, you know, attainable and easy for people to understand, mm-hmm. like all these rules and things. And it's very confusing and
right.
it's not that complicated. People die, they go to this other realm, they drop the body, they learn, they grow. They're not obsessed with us as much as people think.
Mm.
We are not the center of the world. It's kind of similar as technology increases, it's similar. So
yeah.
they can be in their world letting you know they feel you. Like we send an email or we send a text,
right. mm-hmm.
but they're doing other things. They're not just sitting there staring at you all day and following right. you around. So there's a lot we're starting to understand. I feel like you're right.
Hi, I'm Erin Lee Gaffel. I'm an artist from Big Sur, California. been coming to the ranch for almost 20 years, which is incredible to think of. And I remember so vividly the very first time I came, because it truly changed my life. I had no idea what I was in for. But my mother brought me, and on the very first morning, after we, you know, had this sort of dreamy night, literally dreaming all kinds of crazy dreams, I remember hiking up Mount Kuchuma and finding myself sort of between one pack of people walking and people behind me. I just felt like I was really alone, completely alone on the mountain for the longest period of time. And as I was walking, I kept hearing in my head this kind of a mantra, this kind of repeated thought. And I finally stopped, and I literally stopped in my tracks to hear what I was hearing, to identify what was being said to me. And it was at a moment in my life when I had just quit my job and I had embarked on being a fine artist, jumping into that, you know, kind of scary but exciting future. And when I paused on the mountain, what I heard was, if you knew God would catch you if you fell, wouldn't you jump? And I just sort of stood there taking that thought in, realizing that I was on the edge in my life of this huge jump into the unknown. And I was really holding on by my fingernails. And that voice from the mountain just gave me permission to let go of my fear and move forward with what I was dreaming of becoming. And that was almost 20 years ago, and I've just been moving through my life in art ever since. And that was a pivotal moment for me of really having the faith that I could do it. So thank you, Rancho La Puerta.
I hope you're enjoying today's podcast as much as I am. To learn more about our wonderful presenters and exciting weeks coming up at the ranch, go to rancholaporta.com and check out our events calendar. Make sure to mention the podcast when making your reservation to take advantage of a special offer. Some restrictions may apply. I hope you're enjoying today's podcast as much as I am. To learn more about our wonderful presenters and exciting weeks coming up at the ranch, go to rancholaporta.com and check out our events calendar. Make sure to mention the podcast when making your reservation to take advantage of a special offer. Some restrictions may apply. So what is, and let's talk a little bit more about intuition and intuitive. So what's the difference between someone's having intuition and someone being intuitive?
Intuition is one of those things that everybody access. You can develop it further. I've developed it further to see timelines and dates and things, and remote view, which is a whole nother subject. Mm-hmm. But intuition is something people ignore all the time. So intuition is that thing that is really annoying and inconvenient. Mm-hmm. So you're on a trip, you're heading out, you already have your plans, but something's telling you to turn around like you forgot something, but you already have your plans, so you don't want to listen to that. So mm-hmm. you head out anyway. You get to your location and you realize you forgot something. You're like, people say it all the time, I knew it, mm-hmm. but they don't listen to it. So intuition is something people can follow for sure. And people do, but they don't trust it. It's very right. hard for people to trust it.
It's that inner voice. Is that how you would describe it?
Inner knowing.
I like that even better. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's an inner knowing. That's why people will say, I knew it. Mm-hmm. And they're like, why didn't you? So it's part of why I get a little more crazy when I don't listen to it and people go, oh, life happens. I go, no, life doesn't happen. If I listened to it, I wouldn't have went through those five steps that I had to go through. Right. And most people are just like, well, that's, and it drives me more crazy because right. I knew I ignored what I knew, that knowing.
Right. So that's intuition. But what about being an intuitive then?
Being an intuitive, I think it's pretty much on par with being psychic. Okay. I like to use the term. I've been using it for so long. Mm-hmm. And I've gotten more comfortable with using the term psychic. But when I came, what they call out of the broom right. closet, I was like, it was not accepted. So it means a little bit more. You're going to see timelines and dates. You can know things before they occur. it's a little bit more to it than that. Right. Yeah.
So when people like come to see you, is it you're not like a fortune teller. They're not like asking you to tell them what's happening in their future, are you?
Well, I'm not a fortune teller, because fortune teller implies that I'm going to tell you this is the future and you have no control over it.
Right. Yeah.
So I feel like what people get surprised about me, they're like, tell me what you see. And I go, doesn't work like that. Tell me what are you doing? And I'll tell you how those outcomes are going to incur. So if you're saying, I want to move to a certain place, I can say, well, I can see if you move right now, this is how that future unfolds. There's like paths. Mm-hmm. And every decision you make is like a domino effect that hits the other domino.
Right.
So I can say, if you go right now, this is how I see it unfolding. If you go in 2 weeks, this is how I see it unfolding. And I may say, this is where I feel like it's going to be better for you. Fortune telling is the idea, and it really messes people up, because it tells someone, well, this is it. That's it. That's what's going to happen. Good luck, you know.
Right. And you can't do anything about it.
You can't do anything about it. And I don't believe that. We absolutely have. I don't believe in the concept, it is what it is, or it was meant to be, because we do have power over our path. Now, there are elements in the world we don't have power over that affects us. And that's why using your intuition helps. Because if you read someone's energy or a situation and you listen to it, it can help protect you in those things.
So if someone came to you and, like, I don't know why I'm going back to maybe your aunt who passed away when she was very young. Mm-hmm. So do you think that there was choices she could have made in her life that would have kept her from getting leukemia?
I feel like if she didn't see it as psychological and she saw it as maybe a warning, absolutely.
Wow.
When I was writing my book, believe it or not, it sounds like very obvious, but you know how you have these subconscious things that are just emotionally difficult to deal with? Mm-hmm. But as I was writing, I was like going, yeah, obviously, if she just didn't think it was a psychological issue and she believed in something like this, which she didn't, maybe she would have saw it as a warning.
Right.
And the whole path would have unfolded. I'm not saying I'm a superhero, but I did also foresee my uncle's passing. I saw he was going to pass in 3 years, and he died 3 years later. But he had a health condition. It wasn't like I was just looking at someone healthy walking around. I feel like I can do that when it affects my path, but I don't just like walk around looking at people, you know, because you can't play quote unquote God, you know, that way. I can see when people are sick. I did reach out to my family, but they were very not open to it. I said, you should kind of wrap up the things you have with daddy, because I foresee he's going to die soon. And for me, it worked, because I did do that for myself with him. So yes, I do feel if she had saw it as something else, but it's a little creepy, right? A little kid having a dream every month that you're going to die. I know I would have be creeped out.
I would
have listened, but that's the way I'm built.
Right. And it's not like Hollywood either. I think Hollywood paints this idea too, that like you're walking down the street and all this noise is coming at you from everywhere because you're seeing all this stuff.
Right.
It's not like that, right? You have to focus on what you...
It is to an extent. I've learned to block out. So in other words, let's say I go to the grocery store, I can get a read on people all around me, but I turn it down. I turn the volume down.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So to a certain extent, that is true. But of course, it's exaggerated in Hollywood. I can look around if I want to tune into people, but you can get overwhelmed when you're built this way by crowds in certain situations. Right. But I've learned to turn the volume down.
Are you ever around someone you feel like you just really need to go up to this person and share something with them?
No, because I believe in the rule, unless you ask, I don't tell you what I see.
Yeah.
It has to be permissionable. You're invading in people's space otherwise.
Yeah.
That's why I do turn the volume down, unless it's to protect me or my kid.
Right.
And then I will read people around him.
Yeah.
Like that makes remote sense. View them and things like that.
So are there some ethical things to consider in what you do?
There's a lot of ethical things that a lot of people don't follow. And that's the problem. That's why we have such a bad reputation, right, in this world. One of the ethical things is to make sure that you're letting you're helping people and getting them, you know, giving them what they need and not out of ego. The other is not to invade in people's space. You don't just walk up to people and tell them things they didn't ask to hear. I don't ever tell anybody's relationship unless they ask me. I don't invade in that. It's very touchy for a lot of people. So unless they ask me about their relationship, I'm not going to just start telling them things. I also believe in ethically making sure that I'm not also doing things like this doom and gloom thing is going to happen, because sometimes people do that just to get people to come back to them. So if I am telling somebody something that they asked me about, I try to be very, you know, how I'm explaining to them. Let's say like someone is sick in their life and they want me to see that. I do what they call medical mediumship, where I can see inside people, but I don't do that. Like, I'm not a doctor. I don't diagnose. So ethically, I'm very strict about that. I could tell you what I see, but I want people to work with their healers and doctors and people who do that. And those are kind of ethical things that you have to be careful of.
If someone comes to, like, let's say that I'm really afraid of flying, right? And so would I be like, come to you every time I'm going to take a flight and say, hey, should I get on this plane or not?
I have a client like that, but she's a little special. I read for her in a different kind of way, but sometimes she will ask that. I don't feel like it's good to use things like, I'm going to say for sure I know this, but I can say like, this is the feeling I get. I don't see that. I don't have that feeling about you. I feel like, yeah, you don't want people to get too addicted to your sight. Like I'm trying to help people also tune into their own intuition.
So you're trying to give them the tools that they can.
Yeah. Cause I teach them. And I have a lot of videos out on this information, and I try, that's my goal. I mean, I can't be the only, I'm trying to get as many people, like I mentor people who are going to be readers. Cause I'm like, listen, I got to retire sometime.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, for sure. Do people ever ask you things like, do I have a soulmate out there? I can imagine that'd be a.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I don't believe in soulmates. I believe we have several soulmates. Yeah, me either. I believe that your dog can be your soulmate. Your best friend can be your soulmate. Yeah. I believe in grow mates. So I try to get people to believe in the concept that you're looking for someone you can grow with. You know, and I can see if that's cracked. I always see it like two people are holding hands, walking down different paths, but they're helping each other. And sometimes one person's like, I'm just going to set up camp. I'm going to stay here. I have no interest in going and see if there's waterfalls or anything else down the road. And then the growing doesn't continue. Right. So I believe in grow mates more.
Now, that totally makes sense to me.
Yeah. I do a lot. I have a lot of things that are not traditional, by the way. I know this is a new world for you, but most people are pretty shocked. I don't believe in past lives. I don't believe in soulmates. So I kind of push, you know, I'm very interested in the future. I'm not scared of the future, futuristic things, you know, technology, you know.
And now that you have your son, you're interested in the now too, right?
I am more interested in the present. He even tells me like you're too. He's opposite. He's very grounded. He's into nature and trees, and he's into science. And I'm like, of course, the universe gave me this like very grounded, practical kid. And he'll say like, yeah, you're a little too obsessed with the future.
Like I don't even know where it comes from. Like I feel that my daughter and I we share the same birthday, and I feel like we're in this journey together for a reason. And I really feel like it's a super connection from somewhere with her.
Yeah. I do see, a lot of times people need help with this. I do see, baby spirits, and I do believe we pick our parents, but we don't have, we only get the cliff notes. We don't have the full gamut. And again, it's up to the parent to choose to grow. Some do choose to grow from having a child, and some don't. Yeah. So there's an opportunity to grow. So I do feel like I had a child late, and I said to the spirit, like, if you're going to come into this world, you better hurry up, because I'm just not going to do it after this 40th birthday. And then 2 weeks before my 40th birthday, I found out I was pregnant. And I do feel like he was like, listen, you need to be like on earth, okay? Because this kid is way into nature. So I do believe we get these spirits that kind of help us. We help them, they help us.
Yeah, yeah.
It's mutual. That makes sense. Yeah,
I agree totally. So I think for our listeners, most of our listeners are, you know, Rancho La Puerta guests or future guests. So I know you've never been here, but I would love to have you come sometime.
Oh, wow. That'd be awesome. Yeah.
But I think they would find it fun if you just did a little intuition with me, intuitive stuff. But, you know, don't say anything too crazy about me.
I'm gonna,
because there's a lot.
I'm very ethical. Like I said, I don't expose people for just, you know, I would never do that. But I will start with a little bit of the core of who you are. And then if you have a question, I can look at that for you too. But when I look at the core for you of who you are, kind of go to I need to like look at this place. I call it the forest, where it's like where I'm meeting the spirit of you, like the true self. So hold on, let me look real quick. I get a feel, but I just want to see a little deeper. Hold on. So I feel like this is the feeling I got of you. You have a very adventurous spirit. Even when I see this part of you that's like in this forest, you're kind of hopping around. You're not like walking just one direction like a lot of people do, and you didn't really look afraid. So that's why that's the energy I get from you too, that I feel like what you tend to do, how you see the world, that's how I'm what I'm just describing, is everything's kind of up for debate. Almost like it's not that you're skeptical about everything, you're just willing to analyze everything from all angles. So it's kind of interesting because you have this open, free spirit willing to like take adventure, but you have this other side that could be very analytical and turn things around. I do feel like people feel the part of you that's open and open-hearted, but they may not know that you're always kind of thinking all the time. That's just kind of the two sides of you that I saw. Like some people think if someone's like an open-hearted person, they're just only going with that. Right. And maybe you're not like continuously. I'm not saying you're breaking every person down, but I do feel like you run it through your analytical mind before you make a decision. I feel like on this earth, though, you're very open to all the things and adventure, but it's not random. You know, it's not careless. I guess that's the word I'm looking for. Mm. I do feel that at this time in your path, it's kind of more about letting yourself just go and not keeping yourself back in that analytical place and just maybe taking a little more leap of faith, especially it has to do with things around the things you're passionate about and work and things like this. I feel like this is the time where those types of doors are opening up and you're still analyzing it. So I just have this vision of you standing in front of these doors. There's like maybe about two doors and one's open, one's kind of not open and you're just not sure. Mm. So is there something particular you want to ask or no? Is that good?
No, that's kind of spot on right now.
Okay. We'll leave it there.
No,
that's why. But see, the thing about reading is I can, even in my readings, I know that's where my ethics come in. I don't push things. You know what I mean? I respect people's space, but this is actually a very exciting time if you can look at it that way.
Yeah. No. I mean, you have a choice how you look at things. So,
I mean, the universe is kind of pushing, you know, that's my job is to push you to look at it that way.
Yeah, I know. And I appreciate it. So that's great. So,
yeah, that's a little blip. That's a little blip.
Well, thank
you. We didn't want to go too deep into your whole life for everybody.
No, this has been really great and informative. And I think I've learned some stuff, and I think it's great what your view on it, because I think people are very skeptical about.
Yeah. You should be skeptical. I always say to people, real skeptics never come to me because they just stay away, and I have family members that are skeptics. Mm-hmm. But you should. It's not being skeptical that this can exist. It's more about the person, and that you do have to be. But remember, everybody, this is just, to me, a science we don't understand yet. Mm-hmm. You know, there was a time where psychology was considered wrong and looking at people's emotions and thoughts and feelings. Mm. And now we kind of embrace mental health. So I do feel this is just another angle of that. And I read a lot of doctors and psychologists and nurses and scientists. So I just feel this is a future thing that we'll understand better as time goes on.
I hope that there's a lot of people out there that have your gift, because there's only one of you, right?
So. There is. I have met quite a few, just not everybody wants to do it to this level.
Right.
Yeah. That's the thing. I'm mentoring people. I'm trying to get them out there, because I tell them, like, come on, you got to. But it's hard for people to want to do it to this point. But yeah, I agree with you. I'm trying to get them to come on down.
Oh, yeah, I get it.
The water's fine. Yeah.
And you're based out of LA? Is that where you are?
Yeah, I'm based out of LA. I mostly read virtual on you can go to my website, adelalevine.com, and I do phone and Zoom. And I have a podcast called The House Medium, and I already talked about my book this year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So awesome. And thanks for taking the time today to talk to me. And,
sure.
And I'll be in touch. We'll get you down to the ranch. It'll be fun.
Yeah. Thank you so much for having me.
To be honest, I'm one of those people that would be a skeptic, especially when it comes to psychics and mediums. It always felt like a little woo-woo for me. My conversation with Adele today opened my eyes to look at things in a little different way. A lot of what Adele is teaching are things that I've been studying this last decade. It's metaphysics, it's manifestation, it's the law of attraction. I remember when my daughter was young, she would ask me all kinds of questions. Some of those questions were about spiritual concepts and the afterlife. And I do remember what I used to always tell her is, all I know for sure is I don't know for sure. The more life experience I get and the more I get to learn about myself, I've started to think it's okay not to know for sure. In an earlier podcast that I did with Krista Tippett, she said it was okay not to know the answers, but it's important to know the questions and to live those questions. Being in touch with your essence and the core of who you are is what Adele refers to as your intuition. Like, my conversation today made me feel at ease and assured that there's nothing to fear and everything is going to be all right. I hope it made you feel that way too. Until next time, this is Barry wishing you health and daily joy.